Buenos dias, mi familia de iglesia. Good morning, my church family. It's so good to see you. And today's a new day. Today is a new day. I'm declaring it. I know the Lord's saying it. Isaiah says, do you perceive it? In other words, you can miss it, but it's here. And I really believe the Lord is doing that. I want you to say these three words with me. You ready? New requires new. Now I want you to repeat after me. And I do not get to choose the new. God gets to choose the new. He gets to decide what new thing he wants from you. We've got this tent of meeting outside as really a declaration that God's starting something new, and we want to meet with him in a new way. But new requires new. It requires us to say, I'm ready for the presence of God in a new way. And we've got to be really careful. We do not get to choose the new he comes in. He does. That's usually why God's people miss him. Next service, we're having that tent of meeting out there. We are the tent of meeting for the Lord. But in the Old Testament, it was the tabernacle. It was called the tent of meeting. And it was the place to encounter the presence of God. It was the place where forgiveness was given, where blessing was given, where thanks was declared. It was where people received healing and forgiveness and were cleansed. People were changed there. But the tabernacle was not just the meeting place of God, it was how God led his people. In Exodus 40, we are told in all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. In other words, they would follow. Because God's presence was never meant to stay in one place. It was always meant to be followed. God's presence and plan wasn't going to stay in one place, stay the same way. You weren't going to see the same thing always. God's presence was going to take you someplace. He was going to bring you to new places. It was always the same mission. All of God's people in the Old Testament, what were they supposed to do? They were supposed to follow the tabernacle together. That was their job. Now, sometimes doing the same old thing would lead them to very new places, a new mountain, a new valley. It would lead them into a new season. They're still doing the same thing, but it's new. It's new because the presence of God wasn't going to stay in one place. It was the same mission, follow the presence of God together. Now, in the New Testament, we read in John chapter 1, verse 14, about Jesus, that the Word became flesh and did tabernacle among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of an only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here is Jesus now. The presence of God is now meeting with man again. The tabernacle is with men again in a very new way, in flesh and blood. And it's mobile. It's not staying in one place. You're going to have to choose to follow it. And when you follow it, when you follow after Jesus, this tabernacle of God, this place where people's lives get changed, where forgiveness happens and cleansing happens, where blessing happens, where we give thanks, in all these places, here the glory of God is seen. And John, the Gospel of John, when he writes this, he puts this image right in front of us. Jesus is the tabernacle. He's the presence of God on earth, and he's meant to be followed. And if you go through the chapters of the Gospel of John, you'll see his glory in new ways. Jesus is always going to lead you to something new. In chapter 2, there's a wedding. There's been lots of weddings. But this wedding, it's run out of the ability to celebrate. It's run out of the ability to rejoice anymore. And the tabernacle is among them, and all of a sudden, there's new wine and a new gift of celebration that no one's had before. In chapter 3, a religious leader comes in all of his old, in all of his old traditions, in all his own mindset, in all of his own beliefs, in all of the old things that he's taught over and over again, and he comes to this tabernacle of Jesus. And there he receives a new revelation that man must be born again. That doesn't matter how much you know up here, you've got to know something of a new spirit that comes within you. In chapter 4, there's an official, and his son is dying, and he runs to the tabernacle. He runs to this place of the presence of God, and there the glory of God shows up in healing, in new life for this young boy. In chapter 5, this tabernacle goes to a paralyzed man, and a new miracle, a new beginning happens for this man. The glory of God is seen in a new work. And in chapter 6, where we're going to land today, there's 5,000 men plus women and children, and they're following this tabernacle wherever it goes. But now they're hungry. And all they've got is 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish, and yet the glory of God is seen because in this place, everybody is fed from that, and everybody knows there's a new king in town. Now, it's interesting because we would get up to this point in the Gospel of John, and we would be like, this is going great. This is going great. I mean, this must be what God wants. Everybody's following this tabernacle. Who doesn't want new healings, new miracles, new revelation, new celebration, new answers to poverty and hunger? Who doesn't want this? Well, apparently Jesus is not all that thrilled with what's going on. Because right after the 5 loaves and 2 fish, we read this. Jesus, knowing that they had intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Apparently, Jesus didn't think this was all that there was. They want to make him king, and Jesus says, well, no thank you, I already am one. But Jesus, we're part of this movement, and we've got the answer for everybody. You should come be king of our movement. And Jesus says, no, I think your movement should surrender and follow me. This is Jesus, and he's just not interested in the offer of letting the crowd make him king. And this is a little confusing because I thought that was the point. I thought everybody's supposed to come to this tabernacle and worship him, and that's exactly the point. Jesus is like, no, it is about worshiping me, not just getting fed, not just getting the celebration you want, not just getting the country the way you want it, not just getting your family the way you want it, not getting the meal you want, the healing you want. No. It is about me. And I'm not about to accept a crowd that's really all about using me to get what they want. So Jesus, in the rest of John chapter 6, he does something that no church growth expert is ever going to approve of. He sticks it to them. He decides to purposely offend the religious spirit in them. He decides to say things that the spirit of the world will get offended by. And when he says it, and they start to complain, he doubles his efforts in it. Instead of back to, oh, wait a minute, maybe you don't understand me. You see, here is Jesus, and he is offending the spirit of the world. He's offending the spirit of religion because he's saying, you're not coming to follow me an old way. If you're going to follow me in the new thing I'm doing, you're not doing it the world's way, and you're not doing it your old way. You're going to have to accept that there's a new way, and you're not choosing how it happens, I'm going to tell you how it happens. Because I know what's ahead. I know there's a change of season. I know what's ahead in conflict and persecution and hardship. You're going to choose, you're going to have to choose, do you really want to follow me? Or are you asking me to follow you? This is what Jesus does. So let's read this. We're going to start in John 6, 26. I'm going to take a few verses because there's a number here. And I want you to follow along and catch what Jesus is doing. He's just fed the 5,000. That's what everybody's talking about. And then he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your full of the loaves. You love the new celebration. Who doesn't want a new healing? I'll take a new car, by the way, too, Jesus. Give it all to me. I'll take the new. Do not work for the food that perishes. You're after temporary things, but you should be working towards the food that endures to eternal life. Verse 49, 51, 52. You see, I am the living bread. He just fed them bread. They all love that. He's like, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Uh-oh. Jesus, you allowed to say that? A matter of fact, that gets the crowd that said they want him to be king, all of a sudden now they're not so sure. Well, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? I mean, I'm a Jewish person. I'm not allowed to eat anything with blood in it, and I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to eat people. So, let me clarify. I'm sorry I'm offended. Actually, Jesus presses in. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, he said that, you have no life in you. He's starting to give the imagery. He's talking about giving his life on the cross. What he does, his blood, his body, what he gives, this is what brings life. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. To which his disciples say, this is a hard saying. I don't know if I can accept that. I think I've been hearing that from Christians these days. I got to forgive. I've got to live for the kingdom of God above the kingdom of the world. I can't just say whatever I want on my social media. I don't know if I can accept that. But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, oh, do you take offense at this? What's she going to do when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that I'm king? If you're having a little hard time right now. If I'm offending your pride or your reasonableness or your control. Look, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe because you're so fixated on the things of the world that what I'm saying to you is offensive to you because you're not catching. I'm actually offending the words I'm using. I'm offending your religiousness, and by your response, I can tell what spirit you're of. Am I following the one who is giving life, or do I want the one who's giving life to do whatever I want? Well, you've heard a lot of people take Route 66. Here it is. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with Jesus. No thanks. No, that's not the way I wanted you to act, Jesus. That's not what I wanted you to tell me. And I love this. So Jesus says to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answers him, welcome to a fresh yes. Welcome to God chooses how I say yes, not how I choose say yes. Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone, we sang, Jesus, you alone. You alone have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One. My answer is yes, Jesus. You offend anything you want in me. I'm following you. You're not following me. You're the one who's got life, not me. That's pretty hard, Jesus. I don't know if I can live that. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I can't, which Jesus says, that's why I'm going to give you my spirit. That's how you're going to live that out. But it's your choice, and it's my choice. Jesus requires anew. He requires the disciples, but they've been following for a while now. He's saying, I'd like you to say a fresh yes. I don't think I'm staying where I was. You know, actually, after this, in the Gospel of John, it's conflict, 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 intense conflict, and we get to Lazarus. And Jesus shouldn't even be in that hometown because the Jews want to kill him. And a new, greater sign of God's glory happens. These disciples are having to make a choice. Am I willing to say yes to wherever Jesus leads me and however he wants me to respond to the world around me? If they'll say yes, God's about to do something new and wonderful. You see, this tabernacle does not stay still. It moves. And it requires a fresh yes from you and me. I believe today is a new day at Cornerstone. I really do. I perceive it. I'm certain that a new beginning is happening. But in it, Jesus is saying, yeah, it's going to be my way. No old attitudes, no old unforgiveness, no old bitterness, entitlement, fear, control. Nope. Can't. No, you can't. That's all about to be offended. Because Jesus is saying, here's where I'm going and what I'm calling. And the spirit of the world and the spirit of religion is not going to accept it. Not going to accept it. And we're going to have a choice. Are we staying or are we going? Are we going to walk where the Lord is asking us to walk? Or are we going to say, well, you know, it was nice when you, I thought maybe you'd come over and do what I want. But if you're not going to go do what I want, then I'm going to go this way. See, Jesus has been talking to us in America. As the American church, he's calling us to a new yes. It's not the way it was. We talked a lot about it last week. Jesus is saying it's not this way or that way. It's the third way of the cross. And you're going to have to, if you want to follow me, if you think this is leading to anything but my cross, you've forgotten what the Bible's about. So, in the middle of everything, I'm going to ask you to do like me on the cross and with your first breath, Lord, forgive them. Forgive them in that system, in that movement. Forgive them in that social media post. Forgive them in that government. God, forgive them. People. Lord, I'm going to have a clean heart towards people, the radical middle, but I am going to oppose unjust systems. We're going to have to get in this place where his second saying, today you'll be with me in paradise. We're going to have to get in a place where despite our personal suffering, we're on a mission of grace. And we're not going to live in a cancel culture. People are going to have an opportunity to start again. And we're not going to disconnect when they say something that offends us. Well, that's pretty hard. I don't know if I can accept that. Well, where else are you going to go? Where you and I are going to go for eternal life? We're hearing that while the world is talking left, right, Republican, Democrat, you know, liberal, conservative, black, white, Jesus has only given us two labels. Family or neighbor. That's it. You don't get to view anybody any other way. You can talk about systems. Can't talk about people that way, though. Well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know if I can accept that. Well, I think only the Spirit of God will cause you to do that, to walk into a room, to walk into those attitudes, to walk into that pressure and say, that's my neighbor right there. That's my neighbor. Not that label, not this label, that's my neighbor. Only the Spirit of God can accomplish that. Jesus calls us to use our social media to play to lose and stop playing to win, because it's about showing people Jesus. Well, I don't know. Well, welcome to a mobile Jesus who's saying you can't stay where you are. It's not where you're going to have to choose if you're coming. And then, you know, we're like, well, Jesus, take it easy. I mean, but, you know, isn't this it? Well, no, Jesus just presses in a little bit more. Jesus, don't you realize what this next election means? Are you missing it, Jesus? Don't you realize the rioting that's going on in our cities? Don't you realize what the police are facing, what blacks are facing, what whites are facing, what Latinos are facing? I mean, Jesus, don't you know? I mean, this is what you're asking me in the middle of all this? God, you want me to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, and you want my social media? You've noticed I've mentioned social media a number of times in this sermon. It's kind of, I wonder why I'm doing that. You mean that applies to my social media? Yeah, it does. So Jesus, you want me to forgive people who are ruining my way of life? Yeah, I do. Welcome to the cross. Well, Jesus, am I taking Route 66 at this point? Now, it's interesting because that's happening in America today. People are like, well, Jesus, what you're saying is too hard. I don't think so. Now, the interesting thing is instead of them, you know, leaving church, they're just making up new church. Because 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Because that cross is not what your ears and my ears are itching to hear. And I want you to be aware, there's just a movement today in America. Let's just find someone who's going to say what I want to hear. Let's find someone who's going to make Jesus king of what I want to do. And there's just a point, there's just a decision point that you and I have. Am I willing to say yes to the new that God wants to do? Am I willing to move from where I am and what I'm saying? Am I willing to move from that to be what God wants me to be? Because I would say I think Jesus is offending us on purpose. I think he's doing it because the church has got to be new for a new day in our country. And I think Jesus is saying, I'm doing a new thing. Are you willing to let go of the old? Are you willing to follow me to my new? Not yours, mine. That is an amazing opportunity. That's a chance to fall in love with Jesus like never before. That's a chance for what our soul is really hungry for it to really happen. Because we've just got to get here. We got to get here. See, we've got the same mission that those in the Old Testament had. It's just follow that presence and do it together. That's it. But that's a new mountain. Same mission. Well, that's a new landscape. Same mission. Well, now it's the fall. Same mission. Well, now those people don't like us. Same mission. You keep following Jesus together. Just keep doing it. It's going to put you in new places, require a new yes. Same mission, though, never changes. You just keep following me. I've got an answer. So that's what these shirts are about. All of you get this shirt next week. As a reminder, Jesus, we're going to follow Jesus together. But it's about following, which means we're not sitting. It's not sitting with Jesus together. It's following Jesus together. We've got to be willing to move. It's about Jesus. It's not what our government says. It's not what our culture says. It's not what the mob says. It's not what a man-made movement says. It's not how we feel. It's Jesus. And we're not, contrary to the American dream of me, myself, and I, it's not by myself. And I don't get to choose who comes with me. Jesus does. That's always the sticking point. I'd follow together as long as it's all the people I want. Just say, no, I'll choose who you're going together with. That's the moment. Now, you know me. I'm seeing the big picture. I'm talking about the big thoughts. I'm seeing things that I think we're in the middle of history in amazing ways. But the truth is, our history is made of lots of regular days. It's the choices we make every day, right? And for all of you out there online and in here, for all of you husbands out there, we know that we'll just go off the deep end unless we've got that wonderful partner of our life. And all the men said, amen. So I'd like to invite my wonderful wife to come up and let's talk about what this looks like in an everyday way. Would you welcome my beautiful wife, Sarah, as she comes on up? Thanks, honey, for jumping in with me.
Yeah, I'm glad we could do it.
Yeah, so Sarah and I have been talking about this a lot because it was about a year ago we saw our family changing. We knew we were getting more of an empty nest in a lot of different ways. And we saw life changing, and we were like, you know, how are we going to live this out together? Because this comes down to together. This is these big moments Jesus calls to is like, how are we going to do this together as husband and wife? How are we going to do this as a family? And so we've been talking about this for a while. And not only is our church family changing as we're launching new community church. And we've had people calling Claude and Denise in Germany now and other family members kind of spreading out across the country and saying it's going to be a new family at Cornerstone. But it's kind of been a new family at home too, including even bringing new people into our home, like Mr. Kenny, who's living with us now and hanging out with us. And it's like, it's just a new time. And so we're talking about this idea of following Jesus together. We've been talking about this, and we've been seeing our family change and how we're going to do this together in a new way. And part of it was, when COVID hit, it actually gave us a chance to start again, and we did some of our sermons together. And, there wasn't a natural, like, oh, let's do that, but it was new. And we started saying that as church was technically, like, services were opening up, and we're not reopening as a church, we're reforming as a church, because we're not going to open up everything we had before, because it's going to be a new day. We realized it's like, hey, we're getting away from something God was doing in us, which is, let's do it together. So literally, the idea of Sarah coming and joining me for a little bit was born out of that. It was like, let's not give up on this idea of doing things together. And so you've been looking at this idea of following and the idea of being willing to do new things, but also feeling the tug of the old.
Yeah, I think that was, the one thing that we were talking about that COVID brought, at least to us, I'm sure to a lot of you too, was just that chance to slow down. And really focus on God, because, that singing that song, Jesus Be the Center, I think in the midst of all the busyness of life, and, I said to Sean, I had been praying, God, I'm just so tired of hearing this word busy, before COVID hit, and then COVID hit, and sorry about that. I don't know if that was my prayers or what, but it definitely stop the busyness for everybody. And I think, no matter what, like, obviously we just sent our third daughter off to college, and our oldest daughter and her husband moved to Texas. So, and that's all been, either right before COVID or during COVID. And so life has changed a lot for us personally, but I think for everybody, it definitely doesn't look the same, even just wearing masks everywhere we go. And I think, for me, while I want things to go back, in a lot of ways to normal, quote unquote, there's part of me that's afraid. I don't want myself to go back to the way that I was, because I do see that God has brought some good changes and helped me to dig deeper into His Word and in prayer, and that's really been needed.
Yeah, I think this idea of, okay, we can start doing things we used to do. Have we missed the lesson God was going to teach? Are we just going to run back to our old attitudes? I mean, we know it's not normal like before, but are we starting to fall back into our normal attitudes? And we really have to say a fresh yes right. to God. And then, you know, and some of that is about the issue of our personalities, too, because some of us are a little bit more introverted than others and really like the COVID world in a few different ways, right?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mind being at home 24/7, to be honest. And it was comfortable for me. And that's the one thing that I know God is really taking me out of being comfortable. Because even coming back into all of this, and I love my Cornerstone family, but there's something in me because I'm an introvert. I fight that wanting to just lay back, not talk to people. I don't know, maybe none of you are experiencing that, but...
The only reason they're not nodding their head is because they're introverts and they don't express. So.
But yeah, I think for me that's definitely something that I have to fight, that comfort yeah. of just staying to myself, knowing that God wants to push me out of that comfort zone.
And it's one of the things we talked about, this new season, I mean, you've got to find your together. Because you and I are not making it in the toxic atmosphere by ourselves. Contrary to thinking that you're having a wonderful bonding time over Facebook, you know, that just reinforces your isolation. It doesn't break it. Did you notice I've mentioned social media a lot in this message? Have I? Are you catching that? So we've got to follow. We've got to be willing to do some new things. Now, it's about following Jesus, and Jesus is giving us this radical middle that we don't get to be on the sidelines, and we're not the savior of it all either. We're just supposed to follow him. And so you were talking about this issue of that great theologian, Jillian Michaels. Jillian Michaels,
you know,
the workout lady.
You talked last week about us watching The Biggest Loser. Well, I have one of her workout videos. Haven't done it in a long time, though, I have to confess. But during that video, the Lord has recently brought one of her quotes back to my mind. And she says, get comfortable being uncomfortable. And that's just something I feel like the Lord's telling me right now, because I am somebody who I want peace. I don't want conflict. And I find myself in dealing with a lot of the things right now, wanting to just kind of, I get off Facebook, but just kind of ignore that things are going on and kind of run from it. And the Lord's kind of like, okay, Sarah, it's still happening. That's not dealing with it at all. So get comfortable being uncomfortable, because this is where things are at right now. So just learning how to handle that in that radical middle place and navigate that
yeah.
for myself.
It's the way of the cross. It's the way of the Holy Spirit. Only the Spirit of God can put us in that place where we don't just run away. This is our time. I mean, we're in the kingdom for such a time as this. It's not an accident that you're living in the middle of this. We are the church for this time. And doing nothing's not an option. And at the same time, the man-made movements, we're not going to give our hearts and souls to those things. Those are not the options either. It's the way of the cross that's the option. And we've got to find that radical middle in all of this. So we've got to be willing to follow, do some new things. We've got to be willing to follow Jesus, not our desire for comfort. And then finally, we've got to do it together. And we've really, you know, last week I said, hey, we're going to be with people. Jesus said, to the thief on the cross, I'm with you. You're going to be with me. But we are not with people the way the world is with people. So we may be over here with this movement, working towards a good thing that Jesus wants there. But we're not going to say yes to all they're going to do. We're not going to bow to what they do. We're not going to raise our hand to what they do. We're going to only do all those things towards Jesus, right? And so there's kind of a new way we have to learn to be together. And today we're starting out this issue of the small group fair. And I tell you what, some of us, especially if you've been to Cornerstone a while, you've really got to be willing to embrace a new attitude. because small groups are not something that is one department of the church. It's like, well, you know, I belong to, you know, the worship team or this team. It's like all of us are part of small groups because we need to be part of a church family. We want to do this together, but we also, during the week, we want to do life together. And so you are the leader of the moms group, and that's a super valuable small group for a lot of our moms who are living in the most exhausting stage of life. But you were talking about your heart in this new season of small groups, even for them.
Yeah, we've been doing this small group for a few years, and you know, when we first started out, I think there were four of us leading, and we've kind of been in and out of different leaders, and now I have another co-leader, and I think because of the life stage that these young moms are in, we obviously get really busy, so we're great at connecting at the small group time, but not necessarily in between, so that's something that the Lord is showing me, you know, especially for me as a leader, I need to lead the way in that, and really just be in each other's lives a little bit more, really be family to each other and be connected a little bit better. So even if you've already been in a small group, I would just challenge you to go one step further, dig a little deeper in those relationships. And
yeah.
And if you haven't been, I would encourage you today to go take a look at all the ones that are offered. It's just a great opportunity to just go deeper in relationship. We really need that. For each other.
Yeah, we're just not going to survive eating a banquet on Sunday and then having crackers and water the rest of the week until we get to Sunday again. We've got to learn, and it's a phrase that we're talking about more and more, is we've got to learn to be all week family. Like, we've got to do it all during the week, not just on Sunday mornings. And I think that's a new choice we need to make. So I think Here's a really practical way to look forward and what I think we need to all decide is our next step. First of all, we've got to have a new Sunday routine, all right? Now, online, I'm talking with you as much as everybody else. If the healthiest thing for you right now is stay at home, I'm still challenging you, make a new routine. Get up clearly, take some time, make sure the kids have something focused to do, but let's really make Sunday mornings a time of worship and not kind of scatteredness. And then, also, if you're online, I want to encourage you, what do you do at the end of a Sunday service? And what should we all be? We should be talking to the body of Christ. So I want to encourage you that don't just watch a service. Make sure you reach out and talk to somebody after service that day, because we need to be together. And I think all of us, we've literally created a new routine. We've got this service. We've also got in the tent at 10:45. We want to try to get people as together as possible. Let's all have a new routine starting this time forward. And even though I said, well, I used to be I'm a first service person, or I'm a second service person, like, that's gone. Like, this is new. It's who are you supposed to be in this season coming up. Second, the new priority, small groups. We are a church of small groups, not with small groups. All of us need an all-week family. All of us need that. And so I want to invite you to take that step. If you're new to Cornerstone, the first group you can be part of is called Keep Growing. And that's how we help you understand how you live as a family at Cornerstone. I really want to encourage you to sign up online today doing that. So we're going to finish up. And the first phrase I had you said was, new requires new. Jesus said, you don't take new wine and pour it into what? Old wineskins. So here we are, church people, Cornerstone family. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. It's going to be glorious. Isaiah 43, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert, that's what we felt like, and streams in the wasteland. I feel like a lot of things have been a wasteland. To give drink to my people, my chosen, the people, and notice these words, I formed for myself. I chose what they were going to look like, who they were going to be, that they may, why? Proclaim my praise. So I literally, by the Spirit of the Lord, it's a new day. It's a new beginning. And we're grateful for all the Lord has done. But the old doesn't define who we are from this point forward. And so we need to say yes to that and be willing to move where the presence of God is moving so we can behold his glory. We are not reopening church. We are reforming church. We're going to let God form a people for himself that they may declare his praise, because that's what our world needs, is to hear that someone's greater. So I'm going to ask you just to stand with me. We're going to wrap up in a moment of prayer.